Hello and welcome to the Cosmic Mage Podcast. These first few episodes are just going to be me reading some chapters from my new novel called Psylocked. So the book is from the series, which is called Age of Bipeds, which you can learn more about that at ageofbipeds.com. And please enjoy. Age of Bipeds, Psylocked, Chapter 4. Winston! Tom shouted through Winston's helmet. I'd like to get you moving a lot more positive X and a lot less negative Y, or else this Tenny's not reaching the exit. The glitch you programmed into the warehouse door won't keep it open for much longer, especially not now that the alarm systems are firing off. Won't matter, Winston said with a much cooler head than he had imagined having in a situation like this. Everything is lasered off, including all exits. We won't be able to leave the way we came in. What are you doing, Winston? Tums asked. Winston hovered his paw over the glass section of the rapidly falling sarcophagus he was clinging to. What looked like a small black puff of smoke poured out of an opening near the wrists of his suit. On closer inspection, one could see that the smoke was actually a highly concentrated swarm of nanobots. Need something reflective, Winston said. Can't you just make the nanobots reflective? No, they won't be able to withstand the heat. Need another material. Heat for what? Tums asked. Winston's nanobots ate into the glass mirror of the sarcophagus. If you cut that open, Tums said, there's a good chance you'll kill who's ever in there. We're all dead anyway if I don't. The cloud of nanobots from Winston's wrist cut two cup-sized holes into the glass mirror of the sarcophagus. The surrounding glass cracked, but did not shatter completely. Green steam poured out of the freshly cut holes. When the steam stopped, a slime-covered man with frozen black hair was revealed. The man appeared to be in his mid to late 20s. From his experience recovering Frozos before, Winston estimated the man's ethnicity to be some combination of South American or possibly Semitic. Admittedly, Winston was not great at identifying human breeds. The man's frozen face was bug-eyed and his teeth were visible in his wide-open mouth. His overall expression was one of pure terror. Despite his current predicament, Winston couldn't help but chuckle at the thought of the man in front of him being frozen in that sarcophagus for over 100 years, with that terrified expression on his face. Winnie! Tums yelled. Mind telling me your plan yet? You've got less than 10 seconds before you hit the ground! Give me two of the wheels, Winston said. I'm barely keeping you from crashing as it is! There's no way I can keep you afloat with only one wheel holding you and this sarcophagus! Tums! Winston yelled. Stop sassing me, boy! Give me them now! Tums reluctantly complied. He moved two of the three wheels, antigrav plates, from the bottom of the sarcophagus back into Winston's possession. Immediately, the sarcophagus fell faster towards the warehouse floor. As soon as Winston had the wheels in his paws, he projected the nanobots from the wrist of his suit to the surface of both wheels. He pressed the two glass pieces he had cut out of the sarcophagus to the surface of each wheel. I'm using the nanobots to weld the glass to the wheels, got it? Winston said. Now seconds away from crashing into the warehouse floor. I think I get the gist, Winnie. Great, Winston shouted amongst the wind and sirens. Make it happen, Tums. Tums flew the first wheel to a section of the laser grid which now covered the entire surface of the warehouse. At Winston's command, Tums used the glass-welded wheel to divert a laser beam from the warehouse security system. Simultaneously, Tums guided the second wheel a few feet away from the first one to capture the diverted laser beam and aim it towards the floor. Once the hole is cut, Winston yelled, pilot the wheels down to the floor and deflect the laser grid covering our escape hole. That is if we have time. By the way, are we dead or are we going to make it? There's not even time to cut a full hole. Never mind time to then pilot the wheels back down to the floor before you hit it. This government warehouse floor is extraordinarily thick. Shit. Winston said. What do we do? Winnie, hurry! Tums yelled. I may not be a proper sentient Psy, but I'd never forgive myself if I let you die. You can't just sit there frozen. Winston's ears perked up. I know that look. Well, don't just bloody stand there. What is it? We'll use the weight of the sarcophagus to break through the floor, Winston shouted. Break through the floor? You'll be lasered in two by the security grid. Yeah, Winston said, but the sarcophagus won't. Its walls are strong enough to withstand the blast for the second or two we're falling through, so long as we do break through the floor. I've just got to get inside. Are you serious? You've already pressure released this poor Frozo bastard by cutting holes into his sarcophagus. If you get in there with him while he's still half frozen, you'll seriously risk damaging him. Well, Winston said, he can thank me for saving his ass later. damn it, Winston shouted. The doors of the sarcophagus won't open. Winston quickly directed the remainder of his nanobots towards the sealed entrance of the sarcophagus door. Before the nanobots could finish cutting open the door, Winston grabbed its handle with both paws and ripped it open with all of his might. For the first time, Winston could see the full frozen face and body of the man within. Sorry, buddy, Winston said. Gonna have to share this ride with you. Hope I don't accidentally crush your frozen dick off or something. Winston crammed his body into the sarcophagus with the frozen man, slamming the door above him shut. Inches above his helmet, Winston could now see the two cut holes in the sarcophagus glass he had made only seconds ago. Laying directly next to him, far too close for comfort, was the giant, bug-eyed face of a man who had been frozen for over 100 years. The man's expression was both hilariously bug-eyed and terrifyingly lifeless. This was to be expected from what was more or less a frozen corpse. Yet strangely, Winston could sense an aliveness in the man's eyes. He wasn't entirely sure, but they also seemed to have a slight orange glow. Winston hoped the glow wasn't coming from some mechanical element, vital to keeping the poor guy alive that he had accidentally broken while working his way in. Winnie! Tums yelled. I'm not sure the mass of the sarcophagus will be enough to break through. If it doesn't, you'll be stuck and the laser grid covering the floor will slice through the sarcophagus within seconds. Then slam us! Winston yelled through his helmet. What? Tums asked. Move all the wheels to the top of the sarcophagus and fire us like hucking bullets into the hucking floor. Right, Tums said. Tums immediately piloted the one remaining wheel keeping Winston and the sarcophagus afloat from under the sarcophagus to on top of it. Simultaneously, Tums slammed the other two wheels he had used to divert the laser beam onto the top of the sarcophagus with maximum thrust. Push, Tums! Winston yelled just before looking over to the frozen man's bugged eyes and said, Hope you're the lucky type, Winston paused. He realized he didn't even know the frozen man's name. Concerned he might never see another person again, Winston wanted to at least learn the man's name. A glance at the info plate resting on the man's chest revealed the name to be Grant. A massive thunk rang through Winston's ears as the sarcophagus crashed through the warehouse floor. Thankfully, the next sight Winston saw was the bottom of the dark warehouse with a giant hole in it spewing out debris. The debris was illuminated by the dim light of the laser grid they had just passed through, surrounded by a sea of stars. Assuming you went ahead and parked the 4x4 below us, Tums, Winston asked, still free-falling with Grant inside the sarcophagus into the abyss of space. Shit, Tums said. Sorry, Winnie, I'm on it. Tums, being a remote automated system that had access to any tech Winston owned, quickly maneuvered Winston's ship, what he called his 4x4, beneath the two falling men and safely pulled them in through the ship's upper docking bay. Before the docking bay doors of Winston's ship finished closing, Winston jumped out of Grant's sarcophagus as fast as he could. He quickly shut its doors and activated his ship's more powerful nanobots in an attempt to reseal them. Tums, Winston said. What's his status?
I think he's going to be okay, Tums said. Or at least whatever damage we cause will be kept to a minimum.
Winston sighed as he tapped the patch on the arm of his suit, which dematerialized his helmet and gloves back into his suit's openings. With his pointed ears laying down, he sat on a small bench extending from the wall of his ship in the cargo bay. All right, man, Winston said. Thanks. Sorry for yelling at you, Tums.
You know I'm programmed to always forgive you.
No, you're not. Let's get this guy back to Candy's lab. Hey, it's the author and narrator here, Seth Fentress. I hope you've enjoyed this little bit of a reading from the book. The book is available on Amazon. For now, you can get it either as a paperback or you can download it to your Kindle Fire, Kindle Paper, your Kindle device, or on an Android tablet or phone via the Kindle app. Or you can just type in to your web browser, amazon.com/author/Seth Fentress. If you've enjoyed this, please subscribe, follow, like, any of those kind of things. It tells whatever website you're listening to this on that, hey, I should share this stuff because people might like it. And I would appreciate that insanely. You can also find a list of links and other cool stuff by heading over to ageofbipeds.com. And yeah, I'll see you there.